So you want to blow up Unstoppable HQ?
As a means to an end.
To what end? What'll anyone gain by blowing up a tower in the middle of the city? I get kidnapping McDonald, he was worth a lot of ransom. But how will we profit from what is basically terrorism?
I believe I know a terrorist with deep enough pockets to pay to see it done. I'm not asking for immediate commitment. I'm only asking if it's within your skill set.
A lot of things are within my skill set.
And suppose I could transfer to you the ownership of some profitable businesses in exchange for this.
How exactly are we going to operate any sort of business if they declare martial law on the city and start shooting anyone who worked with Mercury?
You can be provided with offshore assets. This is a global economy, friend.
Okay, we're not agreeing to anything. But if you can get some realistic terms and a plan that doesn't leave us holding the bag, maybe we're in.
Perfect. I'll call you again once I know the time and place. Farewell. So was that Big Green? Now he wants to blow up Unstoppable HQ?
He wants someone else to pay him to do it, but he doesn't have a buyer for the idea yet.
I know it's our job to not ask questions, but I have to wonder how this guy is connected to the Fabricator. The Fabricator has almost never been on the radar, but Green is doing all these high-profile crimes that make national headlines.
I guess Fabricator just owed him a favor.
Well, at least the guy's a lot more busy than Fabricator. Fabricator didn't usually need a job more than, what, every couple of months, if that? The money was comfortable, but you never know when you'd see more work.
So let's get this out of the way now. We thought last time was bad, but it worked out, and now we're getting the money. Surprisingly, the guy was good for it.
Well, they say once is an accident, twice is a coincidence, three times is a pattern. The guy's not a bona fide supervillain unless he can get away with at least three major crimes.
He's one of America's most wanted men. I don't think everybody sees it that way.
Yeah, but if he lands three earth-shaking crimes, everyone will be saying he's a supervillain. He doesn't even have a real name right now, but he will by that third crime.
So yes or no, we take this or not.
What's the pay exactly?
We get hooked up with an overseas source of income, and I guess we can just coast after that?
So we got retirement in the bank already. Steady flow of cash coming up from this. I don't see what he gives us for the third crime.
No one says he has to do three crimes. Are we on board for a second one?
You know, if the plan works and the guy can deliver again, sure.
Okay, well, at least we know this time that we had to think about it and we did it anyway.
Well, it sounds like everyone now has nothing to do but wait for their plans to come to fruition. Paul is waiting to see if the carryout crew can get him an in with Mercury, and Lowry's waiting for the legal paperwork to clear so he can acquire a loyal, obedient new superhero. On Paul's end, there's paperwork to get a guy a lawyer and get him out on bail so that he can talk to you without immediately giving up the game.
All is waiting. All is bureaucracy.
Right. Well, for Lowry and Elvis, you don't have to wait for court dates on your end, so I'll say that ultimately your paperwork clears first and McDonald arranges a meeting to formally hand Cog off to you. He agrees to meet at Unstoppable HQ under whatever circumstances you prefer.
Let's keep it between myself and Elvis, and maybe also get Michael involved so he's on the same page.
Okay, then McDonald arrives for a meeting with you, Elvis, and Michael. He brings in Cog, who's now dressed up a little like a SWAT officer, except his visor is tinted to conceal his face, and instead of police colors, he's wearing white, green, and blue. McDonald explains, I figured that since this was one of New Jersey Delphia's own criminals, and the proud state is the first to test out the program, we'd have Cog's uniform be the same colors as the state flag. Now, of course, most inhabitants of New Jersey Delphia probably don't know what the flag looks like, so if you want to change it to something else, we can go over the options.
Isn't his uniform change something we can go over in-house?
Well, technically Cog is being licensed out, so my company would like to have some say in the presentation of the product. For one thing, we'd like to establish a trade dress. See, that's why Cog requires a face-concealing helmet, partly, because he's not a man, he's a cog. If you find yourself with more than one cog inside your company, they will be distinguishable as a cog by the colors and uniform. Whatever we decide on as the trade dress here will be that same trade dress nationally.
Now, see, Elvis, we're already getting to make a difference on how Cog will be presented.
Does he have to have a black-tinted visor? I get you don't want us to think of it as a person. Or maybe you don't want people finding this guy and seeing what kind of crimes he did, but it looks like some sort of evil trooper.
Well, of course. The whole point is to be intimidating. He's out here to put his boot heel to crime, not to help you with your hair and makeup.
I suppose the question that we should ask is, has this been focus tested?
It has. Of course it has. Focus groups felt that the black tin advisor and cape made Cog look intimidating, but gallant. They reported that they would feel positively about a man in this suit guarding their streets.
Okay, but how do they feel about Cog guarding the streets versus another superhero? Like, they would feel better about Freeze Frame, wouldn't they?
Michael cuts in here. He says, we haven't really covered any of the marketing science stuff with Flux yet. Hasn't been important until now, but just like with any science, you want to try to control the experiment. See, Freeze Frame is an established brand, so it's worth gauging a reaction against him, but you also want to see how an audience feels when compared to a generic product they otherwise know nothing about.
Well, what does a generic superhero look like?
McDonald says, well, allow me to get into the slides. He puts an image up on the screen, searches for the right one, and shows some data point comparisons. So what we learned is, Focus Audience felt that compared to what we designate as the all-American superhero, this man in red and blue tights, audiences felt that Cog was less approachable, but appeared better equipped to actually defend the streets in the event of an emergency. We feel this is probably for the better, since Cogs are criminals operating on a grant, aren't actually really intended for direct public interaction.
So we can't expect these guys to do press conferences, is what you're saying.
Well, I'm not saying it's impossible, but without substantial training, I wouldn't. And it'll be better if, as our friend Flux points out, people aren't checking in the criminal history of the various COG units. They represent your organization and my own company, but are themselves not meant to be spokespeople.
Well, I think if the focus groups like the colors, we don't have any objections. Did anyone recognize he was colored after the New Jersey Delphia flag?
Very few did, but audiences who had it explained to them tended to show a more favorable disposition to the hero if they were also from New Jersey Delphia. They enjoy the feeling of him being local.
Alright, that's something for me to throw out there, then.
So what exactly are we going to use Cog to do? I mean, he can fight people, but so far it seems like fights don't happen very much, and a lot of the job has just been paperwork and office stuff.
We use him to fight people, Elvis. Obviously. I think it's fair that we judge the public's opinion of the uniform based on how he'll be conducting himself. Cog won't be showing up to handle superpowered drunks. That's what we have Kimon for. Though in fairness, we should probably get someone better for that, too.
Michael asks, Lowry, exactly how many of these guys are we planning to order? You and I haven't really talked about this.
Well, all the discussion has been preliminary so far. We've just been figuring out if any of this is feasible. For now, I think we're planning on hiring a single Cog. We're not hiring him directly. More like we're renting him from Kelvin.
Right, but cutting a deal like this is something I have to keep the shareholders informed on. I am a little worried that if we begin effectively renting super individuals, it'll feel like we're outsourcing our talent.
Well, of course you still have us.
Mr. McDonald, do you mind if we step outside for a minute? McDonald says, Nah, go right ahead, I understand. It's important to protect your business. And Michael goes outside.
All right, Michael, I get maybe why you're concerned about the public optics, but I'm a PR wizard. I think we can put a very positive face on this.
I bet you can, but that's PR, which we both know is not always the same as what's real. Over in the real world, if we start relying on McDonald's company to staff our super roster, then in the long term, if this works well, he'll eventually have almost complete control of our business and how we do law enforcement.
Well, he can't take over for good. The helmets are based on a technology he can only produce with one specific person doing the work.
All he has to do is take over for his own lifetime, Lowry. Look, if Rudy were still here, you're right. I think he'd dislike this from an ethical standpoint. Rudy wasn't great at business, though. That was my job. From a business perspective, I don't know if I want to turn this company into a third party to its own market.
I've been over this with Elvis, too, but McDonald is going to sell this product to anyone who will buy it. Cog works essentially for free, for him, which means that we're already in a position where there's no business in the world that can compete with McDonald. He's got no overhead besides room and board. And as with as many friends as McDonald has in politics, I'll eat this whole building one brick at a time if anyone passes a law that could stop this. You're talking about enforcing laws, but this is law.
Well, maybe Can we find our own psionic superhero?
They all work for spy agencies and governments. There's not exactly a long list of resumes to choose from. Besides, this is only possible due to a weird quirk one of them has that interacts with computers.
I was just thinking maybe Elvis can invent something similar, and we could cut our own deals.
You want to try to play that game against Kelvin McDonald? The guy will staple your balls to the floor.
Well, it would be nice if our own superheroes were doing something. You know, his toy sales are not exactly stellar. He hasn't made a great impression anywhere, and he's not really busting any crimes. And he's 0-2 on major supervillain busts.
Okay, look, Elvis is a bit of an office jock, but he cares about the company, and he contributes a good amount behind the scenes. You can tell the investors that we're working on his public image, but we haven't found his main selling feature yet for action figures. I think he might be useful for espionage, but he just doesn't have the guile to make him feel like a story. I don't know, we'll develop on that. However, I do have a proposition for you on this Cog thing.
All right, what?
So we can't stop Cog from hitting the streets, and we can't make our own, but we can be the first company to set up an exclusive toy deal. McDonald's own company doesn't do toys, so I can't imagine him turning his nose up at a cut of the profits for that.
Well, that'd make us more of a toy company than a hero company in a few years, if we can hold on to the exclusivity.
A few years is a long time to make new plans of action. We'll be making profit, figuring out our angles. And I think the toys would sell because, I'll be honest, Cog's armor looks pretty cool.
All right. I mean, the investors will be pretty happy with that. And in the short term, it'll be good returns for them.
In the long term, for all we know, maybe McDonald would be willing to buy Unstoppable Industries. The investors would be pretty happy about that.
Okay, but about the ethical stuff.
Yeah. Okay, don't worry. I've got the ethical stuff figured out. The PR looks great. It's fine. Actually, I've got something to maybe rehabilitate Elvis on that. Let's go back inside.
You both come back inside. McDonald tried to make small talk with Elvis, but I assume...
I made it weird. Calvin, we like what we see, but I've got a proposal for you. Suppose when we officially announce the introduction of Cog to our company, could we work out some kind of toy sales with you?
Larry, I came to your company exactly in the hopes of that. Of course we can work that out. We already have the details for handing Cog over to you and how he's going to operate. I'll have my people send you paperwork for the toys as well, and we'll hash that out.
Great. But now here's where we may have a little contention. I'd like to sell Cog as a story for the public. He's not just some random criminal. I don't want to say that he killed his wife and now we're giving him clemency. I was thinking we'd say our own inventor, Elvis, helped contribute to this technology as part of an effort to help the world.
Like what? We say he designed the helmet?
Sure, but I didn't, though. No, but Cog is going to be part of our brand identity, and it's important that we curate that. Nobody wants to know how things are. They like to have a vision, something to believe in.
Well, I don't see how me making the helmet gives anyone anything to believe in.
Well, we... Okay, I've also got a philanthropy program that's supposed to be rehabilitating villains. That's where the fireman, or whoever he was, came from. Or he didn't come from there, but he was in the program. Anyway, the point is that my organization is always trying to help smaller super offenders get their lives back on track.
McDonald says, and the government pays a little for each guy you try to help out.
Right, well, we couldn't do it without funding. But Elvis, you've been trying to help out with the program. That's when you met a guy who's, let's say, a kleptomaniac. He steals compulsively. He's in trouble for something minor. He used his powers to rob a gas station. I think that's a crime that's bad enough to be punished, but would be pretty forgivable to the public. It's a really safe crime, in terms of optics, for Cog to have committed. Anyway, he wants to be a good member of society, but he can't help himself. He knows he's going to steal again, so that's when you invent the promise helmet. A person speaks a promise into the helmet, and in this case to serve the city to better society, and the helmet keeps them on the straight and narrow, upholding the promise.
Michael cuts in and says, well, Lowry, we can't use deceptive advertising like that.
Well, that's the thing. It's not a product the public can buy. We'll tell the government what it really is, and then they'll be offering the program to criminals, and it'll be up to them to fully disclose exactly what it is. Our own company merely presents the fictional story of our Cog.
Well, we could check with Snakeman. We might have to put a disclaimer on it or something, I don't know.
Yeah, sure. We'll include some fine print if we have to about how Cog's story isn't totally true, but that the details have been embellished to protect Cog's real identity. We are intent on protecting his identity, right? So that'll be true.
Right, but that could cause reporters to poke into it, McDonald says. I have a few friends in media, though. I can help him understand the sort of messaging that we want here.
There you go. That's traditional media covered, and we could use a bot network to dump just so much garbage on social media. We'll spin a bunch of claptrap and see what takes.
So we're gonna say I invented the helmet?
Right. I mean, you're the pioneering force behind the helmet.
But why would I do that?
To help someone who wants to be a good person be the good person that they want to be.
Is it really helping them if it's a form of mind control? I mean, I know we had this conversation, but you told me I'd help decide what direction it went in. Not that I'd be putting my face and name on what it is.
You're controlling the story and the narrative that makes it what it is. And it is a helmet that helps a criminal serve society in a better way. That part is true.
But I still don't understand what's good about this on a level that's directly involving me. I mean, I understand that we're talking about a bad person, and we're letting good people decide how they behave. I understand that letting this man be on the front lines is safer for me and for you. But if I'm supposed to be telling everyone that I'm also helping this guy, that's the part I don't know if I can grasp. This helps people, I guess. This helps the greater part of the city. So it's a good thing, but I don't know if it really helps, like, this guy.
Well, that kind of empathy is really good in a superhero. We can work with that, actually. Calvin, could I get permission to give orders to Cog?
Certainly, that's why we're here. Cog, Lowry and Elvis here are now both your commanders. You're to respect and follow their orders.
Cog, provide us with a testimonial explaining how this program has benefited you, and try to do so in the most positive light.
Cog says, yes, sir. I just need a minute to think. He takes a few seconds, and then he says, the Cog program is my best opportunity to make amends for the things that I've done wrong. I'm not here to ask for forgiveness, and I don't think I can be forgiven for the wrongs I've perpetrated against my victims. But if I can be used to make the world a better place for other people, even if I do it as someone faceless who never receives thanks, then even that might be more than I deserve and more than I should dare to hope for.
There you have it. Elvis, you're free to have your reservations, but when a member of the press asks Cog himself how he feels about the program, he'll have a positive outlook on the situation.
Cog, was that an honest assessment of your situation? Is that really how you feel?
In reality, I don't like you probing my feelings this much. I'm not normally a very open guy, but the thing I said is my own conclusion and my own feelings. I said it in the way that I thought would be most positive.
If you said it in the way that you wanted to, it wouldn't be that positive?
No, I would have been extremely negative about everything.
Well, see, Lowry?
See what? The man gave us his true feelings, his real opinions, but we got the brighter version of those feelings because the helmet required him to say it that way. When you say you helped create this program, one good reason to have done it was to help people show the light in their souls, to give them a chance to be better people they know they want to be, but emotionally they struggle to be.
But at the same time, lying about the kind of people that they are. Cog is not a good or positive person.
Look, think about, what if we could have had Kimon mentor you while wearing a helmet like this? Instead of all the problems and baggage that comes with him, you could just get his knowledge and expertise.
He would still be a rotten person. Saying I put the helmet on him to make him a better person would be a lie.
Well, think about it like this. Making you the face of this program, saying that you're the inventor, it gives you leverage over the program. If you don't like something about it, you have the ability to pull a pin on sort of a PR hand grenade. It may feel like you're not getting a lot of choices right now, and I get that, but once you're the man behind Cog, what you say about Cog and what should happen with Cog will matter. Elvis?
Okay.
Are we on the same page now?
Yeah, okay. I think we're on the same page.